The neighbor Randall was waiting upon the front step.
Randall, lead the way!
Despite Holmes's slow pace, we eventually reached the Cunninghams' house. A low stone wall with a wooden gate separated it from the road. On the other side of the lane stood the aforementioned property-disputed, battered old windmill. It was in such a state of disrepair that it could not possibly be functional. Yet its mere proximity to the estate did provide some reason for the Cunninghams to covet it, I suppose. Around the wooden gate stood a knot of locals, as a bedraggled constable shuffled about trying to remember how to investigate a crime.
Make way! Make way, I say! I've brought Inspector Warlock Holmes from London to investigate the matter!
His statement at once promoted Holmes to a police rank he did not possess, and implied that Colonel Hayter, having heard of the morning's difficulties, had just run all the way to London, secured help, and returned. Yet the worst part of the ridiculous statement was that it included a direct invitation to look at Holmes. The skin had yet to grow back over the scorched portion of his face, so his cheekbone was clearly visible. His lips had somewhat unmummified, but his eyes were still shrunken, milky orbs. There was nothing I could do but offer the best explanation I could think of.
Well, he's not well.
Constable Forrester, what has happened here?
Well, sir, don't really know. Granny Nora saw the body this morning as she's walking down the lane. She come straight round and raised me. I've been here ever since. Word must have got about, though. It's Bill Kerwin, sure enough. Left him just as I found him.
Perhaps, but he'd also let the gawkers crowd around the body and poke at it. I expressed my displeasure to the colonel.
Well, he's done a poor job of protecting the crime scene. There's no chance of finding a useful footprint now that the whole of Surrey is paraded through.
All right, you've seen him. Now off with you. Only Constable Forrester, Inspector Holmes, Dr. Watson, and myself are to have access to the crime scene. Be about your business.
But Colonel Hayter, sir, this is the only thing that's ever happened.
All right, then. Off to the tavern to have a drink and a talk about it.
Well, looks like just about everybody came out to see.
Not everybody. I gazed up at the house. I wonder that Cunningham and his son Alec did not appear. This body is practically in their garden, after all.
Oh, no. They was here. They come out, expressed sympathy for Bill and his mum, said it was a shocking event that had rocked the community, gave a bit of good news, and headed back inside.
Good news?
They're hiring a new coachman. I mean, we're all very sorry about Bill, but employment vacancies is rare in these parts.
I pushed past him to examine the body. It didn't take me long to determine a cause of death. Holmes, his heart has been torn right out of his chest.
It doesn't prove it's murder.
Hayter was still unwilling to believe that something had actually happened in Surrey.
Look how sharp these gateposts are. He could have fallen on one and torn his heart out. I imagine we'll find it around here somewhere.
Since the scene was already disturbed, I allowed Hayter and Forrester to look around for the misplaced heart, while Holmes and I examined the body.
What do we think, Walton? Redcap? Chupacabrera?
Not unless they were armed. The part of the wound is ragged. The top and right side are clean. Whoever did this used a blade.
Remarkable.
That's not the only thing that's odd. There are no bruises, no other cuts, no damage to his clothes. His hair's still combed, for God's sake. If someone were after you with a knife trying to cut your heart out, don't you think you'd struggle? And look at his face. What would you call that expression?
Contentment? Relief?
Hardly what I would have expected. Perhaps he was drugged. Oh, hello. What's this?